In a long time. The Howard's family here is here, and that's always a blessing, but they're not visitors. They're just family that's come from out of town. We're so glad that they're here. But if you have not been here for some time, this is your first time back or maybe your first time with us, right in the pew in front of you, you'll find one of these connection cards. If you'd be so kind as to fill one of those out and you can drop it in the box on the way out as you leave today, that would be a blessing. And then for the rest of us, we have papers. Out in the back lobby, you're going to see these little flyers, small postcard-sized things that you can give away to invite people to our spring revival. That starts in a few weeks. April 24th, 25th, 26th are the days, starting on Sunday the 23rd. So if you can use some of these to invite your friends and neighbors, that would be helpful. And then we still have some of these door hangers that we've been giving away. And I want to thank those of you who've come out on Thursdays and Saturdays to help us with that. The rain certainly has not cooperated with us the last couple of weeks, so we have more of these to give. So if you'd like to take a supply to give them out either at work or hang them on the door handles in your neighborhood, that would be a help. We will be going out again this Thursday night at 6 o'clock, and this is to invite people to come to the hunt on Saturday, 2 o'clock till 4, and we're going to have a bounce house out there. We've got a couple of thousand eggs that kids are going to look for, and hopefully they're going to find them all so that we don't have critters coming and helping us clean up afterwards. There will be some snacks. We have a child evangelist who will be coming to present the gospel that day, so we're looking forward to next Saturday from 2 o'clock until 4. If Jacob has talked to you about helping us with that, you know who you are, please stay. The bulletin says there's a meeting tonight. That's a lie. The bulletin lied. The pulpit didn't. It's a lie. It's just a lie. That meeting has been moved till this morning. And so all of you Sunday school teachers that you had your meeting canceled tonight, you're welcome. You still get the night off. How's that? Is that fair? All right. The other thing I wanted to remind you of in the bulletin, please take a look at all of the things that are there. April is busy. As you know, next Sunday is Easter. We're looking forward to having a full room, so please come early, get your seat, and make room for visitors. Everybody likes to sit on the aisle, right? I love to sit on the aisle because I love to cross my foot and leave one foot hanging out in the middle of the aisle. And as close as those pews are, that's tough to do, right? We know that. Next week, let's all just move to the middle. And let's make sure we're leaving plenty of room for guests and latecomers to come in and fill in. We want to be in prayer for that meeting. And then the following week is our homecoming Sunday. And so we're looking forward to getting together. Jerry Boyce will be here to speak for us in the Sunday school hour. The Hankey family will be with us as well. And so we're looking forward to a good day that morning. We have several things on the schedule for April 16th for our 44th anniversary and homecoming Sunday. And then, of course, revival starts on the 23rd. One other meeting that we haven't talked much about is the meeting of the Independent Baptist Fellowship of the Carolinas. That's the pastor's fellowship that Brother Parrish and Jacob and I have participated in for some time. And so if you can help us welcome these preachers, that would be a blessing. They like to eat. Are you surprised? Independent Baptist preachers that like to eat. And so we're going to be providing a meal for them. And if you can help with that, please see Joy. We're going to take care of the meat as we always do, but we need some help with side dishes and desserts for that morning.
If you would, take your hymnals this morning and turn with me to page 27. Page 27, we'll sing, "O Worship the King." Page 27 in your hymnals. When you find your place, go ahead and stand with me, and we'll sing all four verses of this hymn this morning. "O Worship the King." O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy's face, His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to
We have a number of folks we want to remember in prayer this morning. Ira is home with bronchitis. He's been dealing with a pretty severe cough for the past several days. I talked to Dee for a minute. Tina has had a difficult week, and so we want to be in prayer for her. Howard Kerr has gone home, but tomorrow he'll be having another surgical procedure to deal with some sort of an abscess that's formed. And so let's continue to pray for Howard. Diane Hudler is hoping to be able to go home sometime this week. And she's been getting a little stronger, but we still need to continue to pray for her appetite as she continues to recover from surgery as well. Tommy Tart is in the hospital this morning with just a list of things. His blood sugar is high. They think that he has perhaps some kind of a hernia somewhere in his throat, which is making it difficult for him to swallow. He's got pneumonia as well, in addition to the issues that he has continually with clotting in his legs. So let's please be in prayer for Tommy. Little baby Atlee has had a very difficult week this week. We want to continue to pray for her. We're grateful that the Lord has spared her this week, but she certainly needs our prayers. Horace has asked us to pray for a family member of his, for Jean Easterling, who took a fall and has now some broken vertebrae as a result of that. Pray also for her husband, Winston, who's trying to take care of her. Daryl Barentine is getting toward the end of his treatment, and we want to continue to thank the Lord for the progress that they're seeing, but between chemo and radiation, it's been very, very difficult physically for Daryl, so let's continue to lift him to the Lord. Rita Baskin was diagnosed with COVID this week, and as you know, she's trying to take care of Tommy, and so that just complicates everything, so please be in prayer both for Tommy and for Rita. James Morrison had his cardiologist appointment this week, and they hooked him up to a heart monitor for a few days, and so hopefully that will help them to know what they need to do to continue to take care of him. The Hoods are traveling today. Both Jerry and Lisa have had some difficulties this week on the health front, and so Jerry seems to be feeling better. They continue to work with Lisa's medication, so we want to be in prayer for both of them as well. The Lord knows all of these needs, and you have a list in front of you, two pages full of other needs, some dealing with cancer, some dealing with severe medical issues, and we're grateful this morning to know that our God is faithful. Many of you have been praying with us over these past now 20 days. We've made it halfway through our 40 days of prayer. You know, in the Bible, 40 days, 40 is a number of testing. It's a number of trial. And if you've been praying for these 40 days, you know, boy, it's just a test to see if I can stick with this every day for these 40 days. And you've made it halfway through. And if you've missed a day or two, the Lord knows that. That's fine. We can pick it up tomorrow at day 21, or we can just pick it up today at day 20. Or you might even have those old emails, and you say, well, I'm just going to continue to pray through until I prayed for all of these days. The important thing is that we together as a church family are going to the Lord asking for his hand of blessing and to see him working in our church congregation. And we are thankful for answers to prayer. Wednesday night, as we met, we had a number of testimonies of answered prayer, and we're thankful to see what God is doing. And yet we come to him again, don't we? Saying, Lord, here we are. We are your people. We are needy. The psalmist tells us that he remembers our frame, and he knows that we are but dust. And so he knows what we have need of. And so this morning we can go joyfully because of his grace to find help in time of need. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. And we thank you for these answers that we have seen. We thank you for the fact that your hand is at work in so many ways. Lord, we thank you first of all this morning for these who are coming home from the hospital. Thank you for good news of recovery. We thank you for little baby Atlee and for your protection for her this week. We pray that you'd continue to have your hand there. Bless the family, as we know that this is a time of great stress and fatigue for them as well. Lord, these other names that have been mentioned, you know all of the particulars. And Father, our hearts go out to Tommy this morning in the hospital and all that he has been dealing with and all that he's dealing with now. Give his doctors wisdom. Give him wisdom, Lord, so that he might do the best that he can to take care of himself. And for us as a church family, we just pray that we would continue to be faithful in our love for one another, to be faithful in bringing these names before you to the throne of grace. And now, Lord, for this service particularly, we ask again for your blessing. We pray for Pastor as he preaches to us that you'd give him power, that you'd give him strength, help him to recall those things that he studied. And most of all, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide him as he speaks. We pray that that same Spirit would work in our own hearts as we listen to the word, that our hearts would be soft and open and receptive to what it is that you have for us. And Father, more than anything else, we would pray that if there might be someone here this morning who's never put their faith and trust in Christ and does not have absolute assurance that their home is in heaven, that this morning your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. Draw that person to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus came to earth to die on a cross for our sins, and he offers that whosoever will may come to him and have him dwelling in their hearts. And so we're going to sing, "Since Jesus came into my hearts." I hope that you know that Jesus is living in your heart today, and if you don't, that you would know, that you'd come to one of us before the day is over so that we can show you how you can know for sure. But we'll sing, "Since Jesus came into my heart," this morning, page 351 in your hymnals, page 351. We'll sing all four verses of this hymn, and then turn one page over to page 353. And if you would, when you find your place, go ahead and stand with me as we sing, "Since Jesus came into my heart." What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus.
like the sea mirrors roll, since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. On the third, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart.
And then page 353, because Jesus died, because he lives in our heart, we can now have victory through him. Amen. Over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave, and victory one day when he raises us to live with him forever. So we're going to sing, I Heard an Old, Old Story, How a Savior Came from Glory, page 353.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. The lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. And bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
And on the last,
I heard about a bear the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved the air, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Great singing this morning. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you. It's good singing this morning. We've got a few people out sick. We've got a few people working. Brother Nathan was sick this past week. He got better. He's working. But we're glad all of you are here and had strength enough to be here with health. I have to get this thing turned on in case they want to turn me off. Matthew chapter 21 in your Bibles this morning. Tonight, I will have a very brief message to close the service, and then we'll observe the Lord's Supper. But for the first 8 minutes, Joel Bowers is going to be speaking. Now, he went to the Master Club competition with a dozen or more churches at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown. And he placed first in the preacher boy competition. So he's going to bring you his message. You heard of Dr. R.G. Lee preach Payday Someday 1,000 times. Well, this is Joel's second time to preach his message tonight. And we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say, and then I'll close behind him. And then we'll observe the Lord's Supper together. So I hope you can be back tonight and service at 6 o'clock. Choir practice is at 4:15, 4:30. I think we're getting ready for the Easter service. Matthew 21, I'll begin reading with verse number 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. This was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Now that quote is from Zechariah 9:9. Okay, sometime today you want to look at that. And it tells us about the king would come riding into Jerusalem on this colt. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. John 12:13 tells us these were palm branches that they put in the way. And that's why we have Palm Sunday today. And the multitude that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, we look into your word today. I ask you to help me to help your people. I pray that you'll feed us through the word, and that if we have anyone who is not saved watching by live stream or listening here in the service today, we pray, dear God, that you deal with them by your Spirit, help them to see their need, the danger of their condition of being unsaved. And we pray that you'd help us to share with them the Scripture, to show them how to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask your blessings, and we pray you'll receive our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. checking my words as I say them. I had all that dental work done this week. My whole top is a fake partial that is glued that will be replaced with individual crowns on all my upper teeth. And then they're going to fix the bottom also. He's going to throw in the bottom. He's going to do it free. And so there they are. Don't they look good? Just can't hardly eat with them because I'd break them, you know. So sometimes it gets hard to pronounce your words if your teeth are not right. So thank the Lord, they seem to be working pretty well. Multitudes followed as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. This is called the triumphal entry, coming into the week of his passion before he is crucified. So they call this Passion Week. And they cried out, Hosanna. The Jewish people understood clearly this expression. It is actually a prayer, but it was turned into an offering of praise. Hosanna means save, we pray. They began to praise the Lord and said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Turn in your Bibles with me to the Psalm 118. In their celebration at this time of the year, at the time of the Passover, the Jewish people would sing these psalms from Psalm 118 through several psalms, and it would be called the Hallel, an offering of praise to God. Psalm 118, verse 19 through 26. We're going to do something you may never done before. We're going to do a responsive reading. I will read a verse, and then you read the next verse. We'll read verse 19 down through 24. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And this is a reference of praise to the Lord as he comes into the city. And it is something that would happen, and Jesus is fulfilling this in Zechariah 9:9. And this praise unto him is offered as he comes to lay down his life for us. The emphasis of the Jews thought he would be coming to expel Rome and set up his kingdom upon the earth. But he didn't come first to set up the kingdom. He came first to provide salvation for all who will believe in him. In the following days, Jesus first cleansed the temple. He cast out the money changers, those that were using the temple of God to make a profit off of people unjustly. And he kicked the people out of the temple. He wept over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together as a mother hen gathereth her chicks, but ye would not. He cursed the fig tree. It had leaves as if it was bearing fruit, but there was no fruit. And it was a symbol of the nation of Israel that he cursed it, and almost immediately it withered away. They were not fulfilling the responsibility of bearing fruit for God. During this time, he met with his disciples and he washed the feet of his disciples. He ate the Passover with them and he told them of the betrayal that one who dipped his hand in the sop with the bread would betray him. And Judas took sop, and after he did, Satan entered into him. He opened himself up for the betrayal of Christ, and Satan entered in. Many people in this world are unsaved, and they open themselves up for the pleasures of sin, and Satan comes in, and he will deceive them. He told Peter about his denial. Peter thought he would never deny the Lord, but he did. And the rooster crowing reminded him of what the Lord had warned him about. During this time, he taught parables, and he revealed in Matthew 24 the future for the end time. And in chapter 25, a parable of the kingdom. And then, if you want to turn with me to John chapter 14, he met with his disciples and comforted them about the fact that he was going to be crucified and turned into the hands of sinful men. Chapter 14, and beginning with verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You ought to underline that last phrase in that verse 2. Because so many people think, you know, we're going to have a mansion when we get to heaven and all that sort of thing. Other translations say rooms. And the reason for that is there are many mansions in the Father's house, but he's not preparing an individual mansion for every one of us. He's preparing a place for us, as it says in verse number 2. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He comforts his disciples about his upcoming death. He explains to them that the way of salvation is a one-way street. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the way to provide for us the way to God and the way to heaven. He is the truth. His words are true. He is the embodiment of truth, that which is right and pure and good and honest. John says in chapter 5, if you want to back up there, and verse 11 through 13. He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had not conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Jesus is the Son of God, did not make himself revealed to every person, because the Jews wanted to kill him. But he reveals himself totally and completely unto his disciples. Look over at verse 23, same chapter. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Notice that present tense, hath. Present tense, life. Everlasting life. "And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live life." There's several words that are in our English word translated life that come from different Greek words. Bios, you've heard of a biosphere, a place of living. The duration of life, or the manner of life, or the livelihood of an individual is coming from the word bios. The word psuche, which is the breath of life. It is by it the seed of personality is implanted within man. Zoe life is the one we're concerned about today. Zoe life is life as God has. The unsaved are alienated from this life. If you want to turn with me, I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll read beginning with verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into, and he begins to list sins that men commit because they are unsaved, because they do not have eternal life. Eternal life is the present possession of believers, because the giver of life is Jesus Christ. When we receive Christ as our Savior, there are moral associations that are inseparable from eternal life. Holiness, righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are characteristics of a Christian because we have received eternal life. Not because we are worthy to have it, not because we are working our way with God to have it, but because of receiving salvation by faith in Christ, eternal life associates with us these factors of righteousness and holiness and the fruit of the Spirit. We have received Christ as our Savior, so we are in the right way to heaven. He is the way. We have received life. 1 John 5 says in verse number 11, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. That's pretty simply put. Today is the great I Am, Jesus Christ, the anniversary of the time He rode in to Jerusalem on the colt of the donkey. He rode in peaceably, not on a great white horse with His sword. That'll come in Revelation 19 when He comes back to smite this earth, because they have rejected Him and sinned with all manners of sin. Jesus said He is the way, and He is the truth, and He is the life. I want us to focus for a few minutes on the fact that Jesus is truth. If you have your Bibles open, turn to John 18. Gospel of John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38. Jesus is before Pilate, the judge. He is about to be crucified. Pilate really doesn't want to crucify Him. He'd like to find a way to release Him. He offers the Jews an opportunity on the feast for a criminal to be released. So he offers to them Jesus. But Jesus came to die on the cross to pay for our sins that we might have eternal life. So Pilate is basically wasting his time. He washed his hands because he wanted nothing to do with this just man. His wife had warned him that she had had dreams about this. In verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault at all in this man. Pilate could not find fault with Jesus. And he asked Jesus a question. He said, what is truth? This Roman judge and ruler knew there were so many lies and deceptions in the world that he questioned how you could know truth. If he could know Jesus, he'd know truth, because Jesus is truth. He revealed truth to those who believe in Him. His word is truth. Look over at John chapter 8. Satan is a liar, and the Bible says he's the father of lies, the originator of lies. In John 8 and verse 31, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answering them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they unto him, "We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." We deal with people all the time about spiritual things, and it's as if they just don't hear us. Because they don't know the Lord, they can't have the understanding of His Word, which is absolute truth. We live in a world today that is deceptive, is filled with duplicity. I had to look that one up. Duplicity means hypocritical cunning that is used to deceive men. Not only on a personal level is there a lot of deception, but on an international level, deception is a way of life for many. In nations, it is often a policy not to reveal truth to those that are not a part of their nation. Politicians in America have protected themselves, so there's no one to hold them accountable when they stand in front of the TV cameras and just what we call a bold-faced lie right to the camera, and as if they believed every word of it. They use lies to blame others for the problems they have caused. The world sends out emails and phone calls. They are increasing in mass. For years, it was just somebody from India sending you an email saying they had inherited millions of dollars and they needed you to put it in your bank account for them, you know, and then you could keep a fee for doing that. And that was a scam, of course, to try to get money out of your bank account. And but it has escalated. I told the congregation that I got a call from somebody saying it was the fraud department for Amazon and that somebody had made $14,000 in charges on my account. And they wanted to dig into my bank accounts and my Social Security and all this kind of thing to reveal, you know, what needed to be done. And finally they said enough, and I picked up on it. It was a scam. And They almost got me. I mean, they almost deceived me. I knew better than to give my Social Security number or bank account number. But they were so convincing and using several people they put on the phone to talk to me that were supposedly officials. One of them was a Social Security official, gave his badge number and his name and all that sort of thing. And it was just a scam. We had a family in the church who had a mother that lived out at TKK. She got scammed out of $5,000 over the telephone, believing that her grandson had been arrested and was being held in jail and was going to be carried off to Columbia and put in prison if she didn't pay this money, and she paid him $5,000. I know a missionary that lost all of his retirement account. He had $200,000 in retirement. He was up in his 70s pretty good, and a con artist got him to give him all that money because he was going to make it triple in no time. And he believed his lie and even tried to get some of the other people in his mission board to sign on with it too, but nobody else did, fortunately. And he lost everything that he had. It's happened over and over again. People lie. They're deceptive. There's a pastor in Rock Hill who still lives over there, spent about 10 years in a federal penitentiary for fraud and swindling of people. And there are a lot of preachers that are frauds, my friend, because there's money in the ministry. The kind of truth Jesus is talking about is absolute, irrefutable, incontestable, unarguable, unchanging. Jesus is truth, and his word is truth. The truth in this world we live in. Science makes statements all the time. They create science books that supposedly are filled with facts that are truth. In truth, they're nothing more than theories of some scientists. Once science said that light travels only in a straight line. Then later, scientists found that Earth's gravity actually bends light. Science has a half-life of about 25 to 50 years. In other words, 25 to 50 years passes and half of everything that science has proposed as absolute fact is either changed or found to be absolutely false all the time. Have you lived in your lifetime? Have you heard don't eat eggs and then you heard do eat eggs? Don't eat this, don't eat white sugar, don't eat that, you know, it'll kill you, all that sort of thing. I eat everything. I'm 72 years old pretty soon. What they call facts are revealed as law. Well, it's the same way with religion. Many religions are nothing more than philosophy of man. They base their beliefs upon what one person said, someone who supposedly had a vision or a dream and supposedly talked to God, or a church denomination that has rules and policy to go by, but nobody in the denomination goes by the rules and the policy. Jesus debated the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rulers of the Jewish religion, and he revealed to them how they were wrong. In the book of Matthew, he calls them vipers, snakes in the grass. He calls them whited sepulchers. They're like a grave marker. There's a dead man inside them, and that's the way they were, and that's what Christ called them. Truth comes from God's word. Romans 4:3, Jesus said, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Believing the Bible, believing the Word of God, believing the Lord Jesus, He is truth, and His Word is truth. Also, in 1 Timothy 3:15, the Apostle Paul wrote that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Pillar and ground of truth. It upholds truth as pillars uphold a building. Paul explained the church being the pillar and ground of truth is the very reason for the existence of the church to be the body of Christ to uphold truth. And that's our job as a church. Today we live in a time where many churches are on other types of missions. They are user-friendly. They are purpose-driven to select groups. They are seeker sensitive, but they're failing to preach the Word of God, which is truth. Faithfully, solidly, uncompromisingly, upholding the truth because it is the Word of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. We still got a minute or two. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Speaking of Christ, Ephesians 1 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Verse 13, you trusted in Christ after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Now, there are many people who have made books and comments about the deception of the world. Christian psychologist James Dolby gives a painful diagnosis in his book, I Too Am Man. You and I are basically dishonest. Most of our lives have been spent learning to play the game of deception. We're caught in a pattern of dishonesty. To be honest with ourselves is not natural because we have played the roles given us by our subculture. And because we're afraid to tell the truth about ourselves for fear of personal rejection and loss of love, we find the task of self-discovery very difficult, sometimes impossible. Sir Winston Churchill made a joke about truth. He said, every now and then somebody bumps into the truth. Usually they just pick themselves up and go on their way. Dr. M. Scott Peck, integrating the insights of psychology and religion in his book, People of the Lie, makes the statement, wherever there is evil, there's a lie around. Evil always has something to do with lies. I know more accurate epitaph for Satan than the fact he is the father of lies. How easy to lie, even for religious people. Lying makes many subtle forms, exaggerations to make impressions, shading the truth on factual documents like income tax or a compensation form, a lack of complete truth in appealing for funds, to twist a meaning to gain a point, offering a false excuse to cover a failure or to protect our image. Christ, who is truth, calls each of us to be valiant for truth. Truth sways the future. James Russell Lowell wrote, once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth and falsehood for the good or evil side. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above His own. Christ didn't give us a precept, but a person Himself. Not a what, but a who. Not a code or a creed, but His own character. Christ Himself was the standard that would determine truth. He is the embodiment of truth. He was truth incarnate. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I ask you today, do you know the Lord is your Savior? Do you know that truth? Have you believed that truth? and received him into your life. If not, we will help you if you'll come. Jacob will come and lead us in a verse of an invitational song this morning. We'll grab our books and stand and sing and let God do a work in this verse one or two. And be prayerful this morning that God will work.